None of us know what is going to happen tomorrow, much less years from now. Since God has not given us the ability to know the future or to look into the future to us is a fascinating subject. Some people are silly enough to pay some phony psychic or fortune teller in order to know the future. This morning in our text, God is going to allow us to look into the future for free. We will peek into some interesting things today, like life after death, reincarnation, soul sleeping, glorified bodies, recognizing one another on the other side, and more. Today we will get a sneak preview of the future. So please turn with me to our text, Matthew chapter 17, verse 1, as we continue where we stopped. Chapter 17 is a very interesting chapter that reveals several things about the Lord Jesus. The chapter has three parts: the Lord's glory, verses 1 to 13, the Lord's power, verses 14 to 21, and the Lord's humility in verses 22 to 27. Today we'll only take the first part and see the Lord's glory as part of a sneak preview of the future. So Matthew continues the story of the life of Jesus, and he says in chapter 17, verse 1, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, brought them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them." So again, some people see an occasion here to discard the Bible. Luke says 8 days, and both Matthew and Mark say 6 days. What is the deal? Is there a mistake? Who is right? Who is wrong? There is no discrepancy here. Luke used the inclusive method of time computation. That includes both the day of Peter's confession and the day of Christ's transfiguration. The other two guys refer only of the 6 days between the two incidents. And besides, when Luke tells the story, he did not intend to be precise. He said about 8 days. But he took the 2 days, and Matthew and Mark only used the time between the two events. There is no discrepancy. Now, which high mountain in verse 1 did Jesus bring them up to? Most likely was Mount Hermon, 9,200 feet. Not Mount Tabor, the 1,800 feet, which is the most convenient site to take the tourists in Israel. So while Jesus was on that mountain, two weird things happened to him in verse 2. Number one, his face. His face started to shine like the sun. His face totally changed. He looked different. After his resurrection, at times his disciples struggled to recognize him because of his glorified body. Remember, Mary thought that he was the gardener, and the two men walking with him on the road to Emmaus did not recognize him right away. It took them some time. In heaven, we are going to have glorified bodies. We will look different. we will not look exactly the same as we do now. But still, somehow, as we will see later, we will recognize one another. Maybe we will have to take a second look, or look twice. Is that you, Fred? Where'd you get all those hair? So we are going to look real good. If you think you look good now, that's nothing. We're going to look better than that. So that's the first thing, his face. Then the second thing, his clothes. His clothes changed and they became as white as the light. So not only his face, but his garment also changed. It became white like the light. Mark says in chapter 9, verse 3, his clothes became white like snow, such as no laundry on earth can whiten. We do not know what color his garments were. They might have been blue. They might have been burgundy. But at that moment on the mountain, they became white as snow. Seeing those things, the three disciples were amazed. They had never seen anything like this before. And that was nothing. After the two strange changes in Jesus, two dead men appeared on the mountain. Moses and Elijah also appeared there on the mountain in glory. Moses represents the law. He wrote it. The first five books of the Old Testament. Elijah represents the prophet, the rest of the Old Testament. So both sections of the Old Testament point forward to the suffering of Christ and the glories that will follow. After Moses received the law on Mount Sinai, remember what happened to him. His face changed. His face began to shine. He had to wear a veil. But as time went on, it began to fade because the glory of Moses was a reflected glory. We are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. Jesus, on the other hand, glowed not with a reflected glory, but with a radiant glory. He said in John 8, 12, I am the light of the world. Now, some people have in their mind a set order for life after death. In their mind, they have a way of things to happen. They say that when we die, our spirit goes to be with the Lord, but our body goes to the grave. Then at the end of time, then we get a glorified body, but not before that. If it is so, where did Moses and Elijah get their glorified bodies? Are they different than us? Do they have special favor? Also, where did Lazarus and the rich man in Luke 16 get their bodies? If people do not get their bodies until after the end of time. One other question. We know from Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 5, that the body of Moses had been buried by God himself. Had his body been exhumed and brought to heaven? Or was his body still buried where God had buried it? The old body of flesh dissolves and decomposes wherever it is buried. Absolutely nothing remains. It vanishes away. We are given a new body when we check out of this one. Our spirit is never floating nowhere. We are immediately present with God in a new body. We get our glorified body as we check out of this body to go to be present with the Lord, the scripture says. We are changed in a twinkling of an eye, either at the rapture of the church or when we die. Concerning the future, we are told in Revelation chapter 11 that for the last 3.5 years of the great tribulation, God is going to send 2 witnesses on earth. They will have power. They will have power to stop the rain. They will have power to turn the waters into blood. The 2 witnesses spoken of in Revelation 11 are believed to be these 2 guys here, Moses and Elijah. Some people do not believe that the 2 witnesses will be Moses and Elijah. They say that it will be Enoch and Elijah, because neither one of them died. Both of them were raptured to heaven without experiencing death. And then they used the scripture that it was appointed for men once to die. Some of us may not die. We may go in a rapture. Moses died and was buried by God himself. This is one future thing that God has not clearly revealed. It is clear to most people that Elijah is one of the 2. And it does not make any difference who the second one is. We won't be here anyway to see it. We will be in heaven with the Lord. And if you are here, you will see it on CNN or Fox News, who the second one is. But my vote is for Moses. We are told here that Moses and Elijah came from heaven to talk with Jesus. And you may wonder, talk about what? What was so important for these 2 guys to come down from heaven to talk about? Well, if you know the New Testament pretty good, you know that Luke tells us what they talked about. Matthew does not, but Luke did. He said in Luke 9:31, they spoke of his death, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. So death was the topic of their conversation. Maybe they came for moral support. Jesus was going to suffer and to die on the cross. Now, if the transfiguration is a foretaste of heaven, we should note that these 3 men were doing something very important. They were talking. In God's world, relationships are very important. Fellowship is very important. People just hanging out and talking. Some Christians do not like to hang out with other Christians. People are God's creation. They are individuals with minds, with hearts, with opinions. People are also part of a wider entity. They are connected by relationships, and they build on the sharing of their minds, sharing of their hearts, and sharing of their opinions. Friendship is the key. So find time, find opportunities to spend time with people, to talk. Build friendships. Share yourself with others. People and churches interested in doing activities that count for the kingdom will not neglect essential time to talk, to fellowship. It is a small taste of heaven on earth. So spend time with one another. Stick around to fellowship with one another. Matthew goes on and says in verse 4, then Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and they were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and do not be afraid." And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Elijah and Moses were talking with Jesus. There is no indication in our text that Peter was addressed by any of those three. He simply rudely interrupted them. He had a great plan. He offered to build 3 tents, 3 shelters for the 3 men. Mark says in chapter 9, verse 6, that he said that because he did not know what to say. Believe me, when we do not know what to say, it is much better not to say anything. Sometimes we feel that we have to say something. And when we do, we say foolish things. There is a proverb in the Bible that implies that if we keep our mouth shut, people will think that we are wise. But if we open it, they will know for sure that we are not. So Peter was right in putting Jesus first in the order, but he was wrong in not giving him the preeminence. Jesus is not one among equals. He is Lord of all. In order to teach this lesson, God the Father had to make a special announcement. God the Father should have said from the cloud in verse 5. That's a real cloud, not the file storage cloud. God the Father should have said, "You want to build 3 tents, but you cannot put the law and the prophet on the same level as my Son." In the kingdom, Christ is the peerless one. He has no peers. He is the supreme monarch whose word is the final authority. Then people have another question here. How did the disciples know that the 2 men from the other world were Moses and Elijah? Did they introduce themselves to the 3 disciples? Did the disciples gather the information from the words that were spoken? Did they recognize their personal appearance? Had they seen their photos somewhere before? Did they have a name tag? Was Moses holding a copy of the 10 Commandments? Did Elijah come down on a fiery chariot? How did they recognize these guys? We do not know. All we know and need to know is that in a matter that is not revealed to us, the 3 disciples immediately recognized the 2 visitors. And we will recognize each other immediately when we see each other on the other side. On the mountain here in verse 5, do not picture a cloud coming right above or over their heads. Luke clarifies and he says that the cloud embraced them. They became fearful as they found themselves in the middle of a cloud. I can imagine that would be a scary thing. In the Old Testament, during the days of the tabernacle in the wilderness, the presence of God among the people was seen in a cloud, upon or in the tabernacle. Something quite common for Moses. He's seen this all of his life. He's seen the cloud coming in and out of the temple, but not for the three disciples. Not only that, but a loud voice came out of the cloud, and that did it. The three men got so scared, they fell on their faces to the ground, verse 6. Then Jesus touched them, and he said to them in verse 7, "Arise and do not be afraid." The comforting touch, the comforting words of Jesus. When they lifted up their heads and opened up their eyes, they saw no one there, in verse 8, except Jesus. Moses and Elijah had gone back to where they had come from. Only Jesus was there. Here we have God's witness of who Jesus is. This is the second time that God the Father did that. Remember the first time? It was at the baptism of Jesus. We saw it in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. There, God the Father simply said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Here, he added something. He added something like, "If you want to know the truth about me, listen to my Son." He says, "Hear him." The complete revelation of God came to us through Jesus Christ. There is no need for any further revelation. So if you hear of somebody saying he's got a new revelation from God, it's a phony revelation, because we have everything that we need through the Lord Jesus Christ. So the command of God reminds us of a prophecy of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you must hear." The prophecy clearly identified Jesus as the Messiah. And we have here the fulfillment of that prophecy. Matthew continues, and he says in verse 9, "Now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, 'Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead.' And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?' Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Elijah truly is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands.' Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist." So on the way down, Jesus asked them not to mention this event to anyone until after he had risen from the dead. Verse 9. Mark tells us that they questioned what rising from the dead meant. They were not that sharp, I guess. The reason for the silence was that the Jews, over-anxious for anything, for anyone, to free them from the Roman yoke, would have welcomed anyone to save them from the government. They were tired of being under this Roman government. They did not really want a savior. They were not interested in salvation from sin. They wanted to be saved from Rome. get us away from this government. We should have our own government. We don't need to be under this Roman government. It was not very difficult for the disciples to keep quiet, though. How could they describe something that is indescribable? Who would believe that they had seen Moses and Elijah? Hey, we have just seen Moses and Elijah. Yeah, sure. Something wrong with this guy. The disciples had just seen a preview of Christ coming in power and in glory. But something was wrong. His forerunner had not appeared. The prophet Malachi had prophesied in chapter 4, verse 5, that Elijah must come prior to the Messiah's coming in power and glory. So his disciple asked about this in verse 10. We have just seen the Savior. We have just seen Jesus in power and glory. We've seen the glory, but we haven't seen the coming forerunner that is prophesied by Malachi. Was this little event here a fulfillment of Malachi's prophecy? It was not. The Lord agreed that indeed Elijah must come first as a forerunner, and he must restore all things. Verse 11. Then he explained that Elijah had already come in verse 12. And obviously, he was referring to John the Baptist. And believe it or not, the disciples understood that in verse 13. They were not that bad. John the Baptist was the forerunner of the first coming of Jesus Christ. Elijah will be the first runner of the second coming of Jesus Christ. So John the Baptist was not Elijah, but he had come in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. We are told in Luke 1:17. It was not a reincarnation of the prophet Elijah. John the Baptist had taken on Elijah's prophetic role to boldly confront sin and to point people to God. He had done that at the first coming of Jesus, to point the people to God, and Elijah will do the same thing at the second coming of Jesus. Had Israel accepted John's message, he would have fulfilled the role prophesied by Elijah. But the nation did not recognize the significance of John's mission, and they rejected him. John's death was an advance token of what they will do to the Son of Man. They rejected the forerunner, so they will reject the king. When Jesus explained this, the disciples realized that he was referring to John the Baptist and not this little coming of Elijah. Elijah will come before Christ's second coming. There is every reason to believe that before Christ's second coming, a prophet will arise to prepare Israel for the coming king. And according to the prophet Malachi in chapter 4, verse 5, it will be Elijah. And one more time, he will come down from heaven, and the Jews are expecting him. So, this is quite a text that we have this morning. The sudden appearance of Moses and Elijah on the mountain, they settle seven hard issues, seven difficult things to understand. Number one is life after death. Yes, there is life after death. The appearance of these two dead men being very much alive demonstrate and they prove that there is life after death. Number two, reincarnation. No, there is no such thing. Moses and Elijah appeared here as themselves. They were not reincarnated under any other form of creatures. There is nothing here of Hindu karma. You will not come back as a cockroach. Do not worry. Number three, we have recognition after death. Yes, we will recognize one another after death. Moses was still recognized as Moses, and Elijah was recognized as Elijah. We will be able to recognize each other in the resurrection. Then number four, soul sleeping, another thing that people are concerned. And the answer here is no, our soul won't sleep somewhere. This story here disproves the theory of soul sleeping. As both Moses and Elijah were alive, they were conscious, they were talking. They were not sleeping, waiting for the end of times. Number five is glorified bodies. Yes, we will all have glorified bodies. Moses and Elijah had bodies that could suddenly appear and disappear. How cool will this be? I can hardly wait. They were similar in structure. They were similar in height and appearance, and yet they were different in texture. This gives us a glimpse of our future resurrected bodies. We will have one just like this. Number six is fellowship of the saints. Yes, we will enjoy sweet fellowship with one another in the other world. Moses and Elijah evidently enjoyed fellowship in heaven and also on earth as they talked with Jesus on the mountain. And then finally, number seven, knowledge of earthly events. This one is a tough one. Yes, Moses and Elijah were apparently logically in touch with earth. They talked with Jesus about his death that he was going to accomplish soon in Jerusalem. But I do not think that we will know or we will see what is going on the earth when we are in heaven. That would not really be heaven. That would be hell, to just watch all the garbage that is going on in this world. I do not know how God can see all the crimes and all the things that people are capable of doing to another person. He sees it all. We could not. That would not be heaven. So we will not have knowledge of earthly events when we are in heaven. We also have in our text this morning a sneak preview of the future. We see three future things. Number one, we have a preview of the future glorified body of Jesus. Before his crucifixion and his resurrection, we get to see his glorification. We get to see how he was after his resurrection, before he resurrected, and how he will look when we meet him in the cloud. This is how he will look. His garment is going to be shining like snow. His face is going to be brighter than the sun. This is a picture of who we are going to meet in the sky. He will be bright and shining. So that's a preview of the future glorified body of Jesus. Number two, we have a preview of the future coming of Moses and Elijah to the earth. Most likely, we will not witness the coming of Moses and Elijah during the great tribulation period. I hope none of you here will witness the coming of these guys to the earth. You should not be going through the great tribulation. It will not be a pretty thing to see then. And finally, number three, we have a preview of our own future glorification. Just like Moses and Elijah had glorified bodies after their departure from the earth, so we will have glorified bodies after our departure from this earth. It will come either through death, like Moses, or through the rapture, like Elijah. But either way, our glorification is a sure thing. So no, God has not given us the ability to know the future or to look into the future. And no, we cannot contact psychic mediums or fortune teller to look, to know the future. But today in our text, God allowed us to peek into the future. So today we got a sneak preview of the future. Our text this morning answers a lot of questions that people have about the future, life after death, and all these things. But we see today that it is crystal clear that we will live after we depart from here. And we can go either way. Moses went one way. He died. He was buried. But he was changed in a twinkling of an eye, and he received his glorified body. On the other hand, Elijah was taken into heaven. He was raptured, like some will be raptured, and they will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and they will have their glorified body. It is not something that you get the end times. In the Old Testament, these things were not clear. But now they are crystal clear. In the New Testament, we see all the answers that people of the Old Testament did not know. So it is very important for us to be ready, because when we die, we will go one of two places. Those people who die and do not have a relationship with God, they are unbelievers, they receive a body, but not a glorified body like us. They have a body like we see the rich man with Lazarus. He had hands, he had eyes, he could feel the flame, and he had a memory. He remembered his brothers, but their bodies is different, and it would be nothing but suffering for them. So it is very important to make the right decision to call on the name of the Lord and to be born again, because that decide what kind of bodies you will have after you die and which place you will go after you die. So may the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. May He bless your home, your life, your family, and may He help you to walk godly with Christ Jesus all the days of your life, that you may have a glorious future in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.